Hello and welcome to the first Comics Burst of 2020 from the Full Force podcast, sponsored by Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, where we take an in-depth look at the newest G.I. Joe comics and related titles of the week, with me as your host, Chris Breakfast at Stephanie's McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me on this episode is Brian, full English Brexit Hickey. On this instalment of your absolutely favourite kind of burst, we look at the third issue of Paul Aller's awesome G.I. Joe ongoing from IDW. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this comics burst. Breakfast in America. A dangerous mission with unintended consequences will divide the new members of the G.I. Joe team and hammer home just how lethal their new mission is. Meanwhile, Cobra comes closer to wiping out all resistance to its rule. So first off, Brian, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I know we've had about 12 news bursts and all sorts of episodes over the Christmas break and in the New Year, but this is the first comics burst of 2020. How does that feel?
Well, do you know what? It feels amazing. It's great to be back in the hot seat talking about G.I. Joe.
Doesn't it feel like a year's gone by since I last spoke to you, does it?
No, I mean, it's... Time flies when you're not recording podcasts, but
when you're not having fun.
But it's great to be back, and I hope all the listeners slash viewers have had a great Christmas and got to catch up on lots of G.I. Joe comics over the Christmas.
No, I'm just kidding. Yes, I also hope that our listeners slash viewers have had a good time over the holiday break. Let's get stuck in. I mean, we're playing a bit of catch-up at the moment with the G.I. Joe ongoing from Paul Aller, Chris Evenhouse, and Brittany Peer. But my goodness, it's been really, really cool. Like, the last couple of issues, and I know we're looking at issue 3 first, and then on the next episode, which you'll have to hear separately to this one, we'll be looking at issue 4 as well. And then shortly after that, issue 5 is going to be dropping. So we are playing a little bit of catch-up. And then obviously, I think tomorrow, or whenever the viewers, listeners hear this, the issue will be out. But Snake Hunt is back in the game as well, so we're gonna have to get involved with that next week. Let's get into issue 3 then of this ongoing G.I. Joe comic, Brian. We'll start with the covers, and we have again a beautiful standard issue cover with Scarlet, Tiger, and they're both underneath, or kind of Scarlet standing up and Tiger's kind of chilling underneath an Abraham Lincoln statue.
It's a stonkin' Abe Lincoln statue. That's what it is.
I mean, it's quite a powerful image, would you say? I mean, what kind of, I mean, you know, we're talking a lot of freedom here, a lot of American values in this one. I mean, what are your thoughts on this cover?
I mean, again, Chris Evenhouse is bringing, and Brittany Peer bringing the just amazing artwork to the cover on this one. We've got this what looks like a massive plume of smoke rising up behind Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
We've got the rubble beneath his, beneath the statue, which Tiger is kind of sitting on. Lincoln is standing up from the chair, which, again, the famous statue that I know of, say, in Washington.
Yeah.
He's kind of sitting on the chair. And really what this is telling us here is that, you know, freedom's gone. It's just in rubble. It's been reduced to rubble. You know, but we've got Scarlet and Tiger kind of ready to take up the fight to see what they can they wrestle it back from Cobra.
I like that. It's a nice kind of metaphorical cover. And again, the colour, the design of, I think Scarlet looks so cool as a character in this issue. She, like, for someone that's had such a drastic redesign, usually it's you know, it's not taken too kindly by the fandom when certain characters get huge redesigns. But, you know, for the most part, I think she looks fantastic in this styling.
I'd say that across the board for all the characters here. It's a very different universe for G.I. Joe. It's a completely different set of canon and mythology. So, you know, why not redesign the characters? And this Scarlet character looks kick-ass. She's the most ready for battle out of all of the characters that we've seen, because, you know, we know they're civilians.
Yeah.
We would expect them to evolve into a military force as these issues kind of roll on and become a bit more kind of military-like. But Scarlet has, I suppose, looks, you know, her underneath that kind of, you know, jacket, her kind of fatigues look, you know, similar-ish to
that
yellow,
classic
Scarlet.
Yeah, that yellow is under there. They've gone with some of the visual cues here as well, like the red hair, obviously, as well. But again, like the hairstyle, I think, is really cool. And it actually looks even cooler on the retailer incentive cover, where she's in some sort of crate with a sniper rifle, kind of almost like hiding from, well, you don't really know, I suppose, like, you know, Cobra are kind of outside or walking by or something, and she's kind of like tucked away inside this crate. I mean, that is a beautiful cover, isn't it?
That is from Tad Galushin. What a beautiful piece of artwork. I mean, it doesn't really have any kind of relevance to the contents of this particular issue, but it's just a really creative, it just captures that whole sense of someone on the run, somebody working underground, you know, somebody on the wrong side of the law. And you know, the character, if I say that hairstyle, it looks very kind of, you know, post-punk 1980s kind of a look to it,
almost more like Zorana than Scarlet, isn't it?
Yes, for sure.
In any case, we have a comic as well attached to this, so let's talk about this one as well. So it's called Breakfast in America. Again, it's the same team, Ala, Evanouse, Peer, Oyatake, and Kernow, the team on this one. And we start off with Roadblock, who is undercover in a diner, and quite the really cute opening pages of this breakfast he's prepared for. You know, we're only talking about civilians in this town, but he's prepared this breakfast that looks like Cobra Commander, which I think is hilarious.
It's brilliant. For Cobra, the breakfast special number one, the Commander platter. It looks pretty delicious. I'd actually go for that right now, even though it's bedtime.
I know, it is yum as looking in it. If they had a vegan version, I'd be all over that. But I'm kidding. But I would. But let's kind of talk through this storyline. So obviously they're in Millville, Missouri, which is, I guess, near where I live currently in Missouri. And they're basically set up in this little town, and Roadblock is undercover, and the rest of the team are kind of communicating with him from a distance. Tiger, Fadeaway's involved. You've got Frontier, who is actually trying to get through a Cobra checkpoint with contraband that, well, I say contraband, explosives, but then also a load of other things to hide the fact that he's transporting explosives. His card doesn't work because Fadeaway realizes that Cobra are using a jammer, and from that point on, Frontier is stopped and has to basically react to the situation, doesn't he?
It's this is superb. It's just, you've got the, he pulls up with the truck. This kind of real tension as his ID fails, Cobra are not buying it, and he's got to fight his way out of the truck, run under fire, and we have this superb kind of
I love this
sequence
panel. Love the
where
panel.
He just jumps off the bridge and whoosh, into the water. I mean, it's really nicely done. I mean, it's, you know, Chris Evenhouse bringing the magic, and all this happens in like a page and a half. It's fantastic.
I love how just that one panel. I mean, you're right. It's the sequence is really tight. You've got him kicking the door open, knocking the Cobra guy to the ground, jumps out of the vehicle, then has to like leg it past like three Vipers who are all firing at him. It turns out it's like four in the end. It might be the guy who got up off the floor. And you see him jump, and there's that panel where he jumps, and you've got like the three separate kind of white square, like rectangular lines around each part of the jump, as it were, or the fall, and follows him all the way into the water, which is so cool. So I really love that. It's a beautiful. I've seen it in comics where they've done one maiden panel that is uninterrupted, and then lots of things happening that you would see in separate panels inside it. I've seen it before, but there's a real originality to this one panel, isn't there?
Well, do you know what I think? It's because it's so minimal. It's basically just black. It's like everything happens in silhouette, and it's this beautiful kind of geometric bridge, which obviously the bridge is a big part of this particular issue, this story.
Yeah.
And the dynamic pose of Frontier from the leap to the fall, and then preparing himself for the, you know,
splosh.
The splash into the water. and that's one of the trademarks of the graphic style in this series, is that minimalism is used really, really effectively at key moments. And it's just beautiful.
I should mention as well, while they're on the bridge, there's this funny sign above the kind of like, you know, where the trucks come through that says, have ID ready, delay will not be tolerated. And I'm kind of thinking, do I want to live in a Cobra world? It seems to be a little bit more my speed, you know, like I really do not like delay. I don't like being stuck behind trucks on the road. I think they've got the right idea, Cobra. Anyway, that's probably the wrong viewpoint to have. I'm probably missing all the other horrible things they do.
Cobra provides.
Exactly. And we switch back to Cobra headquarters in Chicago, which is where I think, like, Chicago is a place that's brought up a lot in the issue, and I feel is like almost like one of the centerpieces of Cobra's takeover has been focused from that point. Like, that is their kind of their Springfield in this comic, in a way.
Yes, it's Chicago is the base of operations, and there's nothing secret or hidden about this base. It's one massive big skyscraper with an equally massive big logo slapped on the front.
It's all about branding. We see Major Blood again, which is great. I think he's one of my favorite characters in this comic so far. And he is basically trying to force them to push all their resources into stopping whatever this is, you know, into finding out, digging into what this truck was doing, why Frontier was involved and all that kind of stuff. So he is like, you can almost sense that he's got this this real bugbear for the Joe team, hasn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, he's not buying the whole surrender thing. This guy's too smart. He's not going to fall for that. And, you know, he senses, or at least he recognizes, that Frontier is a top G.I. Joe agent. So yeah, he's really pushing his team to track down the body, to go through that truck, to literally take it apart bolt by bolt and see what was this guy trying to smuggle into Melville, Missouri.
The other interesting point, that's kind of the other overlying kind of thing that's going on here, is the fact that the people on the other side of this bridge need the trucks to be coming through, to be giving them food, rations, and so on and so forth. And without that, they're going to struggle for a number of weeks or something like that, without food and medicine. So it's important for that truck to kind of make it through. So with Frontier kind of failing to get through that checkpoint, they have to kind of rejig their plans, and that's where we come back to Roadblock in the Viper Diner as a chef undercover, talking to the people who are kind of happy with Cobra. They don't, you know, none of them are like that upset with the situation, mainly because they don't really see it. And we have Lightfoot kind of piping up. He's also undercover, almost like trying to find more Joe kind of recruits, isn't he? He's trying to almost like, you know, he's like basically saying that, you know, ask Indianapolis how they feel about Cobra's rule and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that causes a scene in the diner, and Roadblock has to grab Lightfoot and take him outside.
I mean, I kind of like this little sequence here where, you know, you see the civilians, or the, you know, the residents of Millville, they seem pretty content, and Roadblock is, you know, doing his thing, working undercover. He seems to, you know, been there a while. He knows some of these customers by first name, presumably they're regulars. When Lightfoot kind of challenges them with some sort of a very rebellious kind of remark, Roadblock, you know, still undercover, has to kind of wrestle him outside, and just, you know, there's a nice little altercation between the two of them here.
Yeah, it's like a fake Roadblock. It's fake altercation, which I really like. It's like they're both, it's like that thing where they're saying really nice, not really nice things to each other, they're saying normal things to each other, but making it look like an argument, which is brilliant.
It's he does challenge Lightfoot at first, where he's like, you know, I don't know how you do things on CoverGirl's team, but we're working on our team. And then, you know, Lightfoot kind of, you know,
he explains what he was doing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's interesting because I like how Lightfoot says, well, yeah, I was looking for recruits, and, you know, we're still trying to recruit here. And he's like, oh, yeah, I get what you're saying. And then it's like, well, what are we going to do now? Okay, let's think of something else. Just scream. And then he kind of punches the truck. I think it's great.
Punches the truck. The little kid looking out the window going, yay!
Yeah, he's going to be a Viper. And when we come back to the kind of Joe team, and Roadblock reunites with the kind of team that have been, you know, hiding out in this safe house while he's been doing his undercover work, there's a lovely shot of a kid playing with a remote-controlled vamp. I think that's so cool.
Deadly.
Love that at the top.
Yeah, nice little touch.
There's some lovely little touches like that. Obviously, the Viper Diner's one. There's more. I'm probably like rushing by, but I love those little touches. And obviously, there's a conversation here, and it's a valid one where the team are a little kind of annoyed because the game, the rules have changed in the plan that they had to execute. They have to kind of change things up. Roblox angry because he's trying to make a point of maybe we should just submit to their rule effectively.
He's questioning. Like, why are we going to all this effort? I mean, you know, like, did we just rewind really quickly here? Frontier's truck contained the explosives that they needed to destroy this bridge. And with the truck compromise and the explosives now in Cobra's hands, the mission's been compromised and they've had to rework the situation.
Yeah.
And it's and Lightfoot's got to come up with an alternative solution effectively, which he does.
I do like how they have him doing the underwater demolition stuff. That's really cool, isn't it?
It's deadly. And a nice little bio on Lightfoot at the end of this as well, which is great.
It's nice to see a character, again, drastically different from his previous design, and one that's close to my heart as well. But I'm not upset about it. I think it's really cool. And I like the fact that we've got, you know, this Lightfoot is clearly going to be more prominent than the Lightfoot in the previous G.I. Joe thing, who hardly got any blooming playtime, shall we say. But I really like how they kind of use him in this. And he's like kind of saying that he misses what he used to be. He used to be a librarian. He's like kind of miss being a librarian at one point as he's like swimming away from this explosive he's just set on a bridge. But they're basically trying to blow this bridge up with this convoy of military, you know, Cobra military all over it. So this is the thing. Roblox ends up kind of going off mission, shall we say. He kind of goes a bit rogue because he wants to get the truck with the rations and the medicine over to the other side of the bridge before they blow it. But obviously he has to do it very close to the time that they're going to blow it, and that results in this like last second kind of attempt to get across the bridge whilst the explosives go off, and he only just makes it. But it's really cool. And there's a lovely bit after the bridge has been blown up and the whole convoy goes down and Roblox's truck like scrapes it, just kind of makes, but you know, like, you know, it still crashes and flips over, but he kind of comes out and he's all happy, and Lightfoot is sitting on the bank watching it going, wow,
I did not think that was actually gonna work.
And they're like, Lightfoot, could you repeat that, Lightfoot? It's brilliant. I love that. It's such a cute little bit.
That's a superb sequence there. So I mean, Roblox is clearly struggling, not with the fight against Cobra, but at the thoughts of leaving civilians without desperate supplies. So one of the things that's revealed at the beginning of this comic is that during the war between Cobra and the United States, they destroyed a lot of bridges along the Mississippi.
Yeah.
And so this is the only bridge for hundreds of miles on the Mississippi, which is a typical tactic in war. You'll destroy bridges to stop
transportation,
you know, your enemy advancing.
And also to get, you know, reinforcements and ammunition and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
So he puts the mission in jeopardy by kind of breaking cover, stealing this truck. But as you say, gets across just in the nick of time. So and we see he's kind of meets with civilians and you saved us. Yeah, well, Cobra provides.
What's funny is he's almost like, in a weird way, he is reinforcing their positive response to Cobra in an odd way. So it's like he's protecting them from the truth by making them believe that Cobra are doing this for them. In a weird way. Do you know what I mean? That's what I get from it anyway.
Yeah, I think he's a complex character, Roblox, and in this particular universe. And I'm not sure how I'm reading the end of this particular scene here is that he's now stranded on the other side of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
And all of his, his team essentially are on the other side, and there's now no bridges for hundreds of miles. So I don't know if that's something the guys are going to revisit, or are we just going to assume that he just swims back across?
Yeah, I was going to say, in an individual situation, you can probably get across there, no worries. But like, you know, Lightfoot did it. But in any case, like, I think it's a really cool issue, that this part. And then we get the really cool reveal at the end. So we swing back over to Cobra HQ, and Baroness is watching the news with
that
a Viper.
She's
amazing. I think it's really cool, and it's so, again, like, it sticks close to her original design, but there's this whole new aspect to her kind of get up, and it's just really awesome. I think Chris has done a great job designing the Baroness here. Absolutely superb. Yeah,
beautiful.
Do you know what, like, there's hints of, like, Star Wars in her design. Like, she looks like an Imperial kind of you know, like a moth, you know, could be moth at De Cobra.
Grand Moff De Cobra.
But yeah, love that. And obviously she's talking with the Viper, and one, he says, for Cobra, and then in the background you see yes, and then the final page, for me, and it's Cobra Commander at his desk, looking very bad.
That is class. Wow.
I love that this issue has got, like, a bookend of a fake breakfast Cobra Commander at the beginning and the real breakfast at the end.
Oh, wow.
So, in terms of an overall score then for this one, Brian, what would you give this one, buddy?
I would go on 5 again. I mean, these guys are just knocking it out of the park. We had a nice first episode, shocker, Duke gets killed.
Yeah.
Then we get into character, kind of the setup, you know, behind issue 2 is the G.I. Joe inside their kind of base or kind of secret headquarters and their training. The reveal that Destro's going to supply them with weapons and arms, another shocker. And then we get into issue 3, their first real mission, like a major mission. We're starting to see maybe a few cracks in the team, like Roadblock and Frontier are still having a couple of issues there. And Roadblock is clearly struggling with, you know, everything that's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a killer issue, and loving where this has gone. So this gets 5 for sure.
I agree. I think it's a stonker, and I really like the fact, like, you know, one of my favorite characters has got, like, a new lease of life here in Lightfoot, and, you know, again, a different vibe, but at the same time, very cool character. Really nice balance of humor in this one. Interestingly, for an issue that really is just about a bridge, It's very interesting and very action-packed and very cool. Lots of stuff going on. It felt quick, though. Like, it felt like I read this, like, at lightning pace. And when we look at the next issue, there's a big difference there in how those two comics pace-wise kind of move. And, yeah, I'm going to have to go with you on this one. It's a cracking issue, full 5 on this one, and... that's issue 3. Another cracker from Alla, Evanhausen, and Pia. Guys, you guys are doing an amazing job. Anyway, Brian, thanks for jumping on and chatting this issue 3. We'll be, the viewers don't know, the listeners don't know this, but we'll just be ending this issue, this episode, and then immediately recording the next one. So it's going to be weird for us to say goodbye right now, even though we're staying together.
Parting is such... bittersweet. I'm trying to...
Sorrow.
Poetry.
That's it for this installment of the Full Force Poetry Corner. Thank you to my awesome co-host, Brian Hickey. See you next time in a few moments. And as always, Full Force.
Boom. Cobra provides.
I'm leaving that in. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback or questions. We have also started a Patreon page, so if you want to see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force. And a big shout out to our sponsors, Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, located at 601 Business Loop 70 West Suite 263, located in the Parkade Center, Columbia, Missouri. You can visit their website at distantplanetcomics.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/distantplanetcomics.